Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest, former intern on this radio show. Not so many years ago. College basketball player, man of the world, host of the Wake Up and Win podcast, Devon Pouncey joining us. Pounce, where are you, man?
I am at Street Roots. I'm at work, and I'm taking a quick break so I can holler at you, man.
Give us an idea, because for people who don't know Street Roots, what is Street Roots and what is your role there?
So basically, Street Roots is a nonprofit organization. We work really closely with the homeless and impoverished. We're a low barrier income opportunity for them by way of them actually selling our weekly newspaper. We tend to write more about like social issues and political things, but we weave a bit of sports in there sometimes as well, especially when I write a piece or two around here. But yeah, man, we do a lot of advocacy work around here. I'm actually the vendor program director, so I oversee the vendor program and work pretty directly with the unhoused community and, you know, making sure that I'm learning from them when I go into places and spaces where they can't necessarily advocate for themselves, and then just making sure that the day-to-day operations are going smooth around here.
When people are walking around and they encounter somebody selling a copy of Street Roots, what are you encountering in that moment?
Well, for one, I think you're encountering an interaction with somebody that's unhoused or impoverished that you probably never would in other aspects of your life, especially if you're somebody that's privileged enough to have a roof over your head. And you get to learn a lot from them. A lot of our vendors are well-versed and they're well-educated on some of the things that are actually inside of the newspaper, and then just other things where you can learn more about your neighbors that are out here in the community, whether you like it or not that they're your neighbors. I think, you know, always having an open mind and being willing to learn from people who have different circumstances than you do is important in your own individual growth.
Devon Pouncey with us, Street Roots, the Wake Up and Win podcast, former intern, former college basketball player, man of the world. Let's talk about your time here with this radio show. What did you learn on this show that you took forward with you?
Just to be myself and lean into what I believe and what I stand on. You know, building a brand, I think, is something that's really important that I learned from you, obviously. You got the Bald-Faced Truth brand going really well, not just with your content and your takes, but you keep the head shaved nicely and tight, no facial hair. I mean, bald face, you got it rocking over there, man. So, you know, I obviously have my own podcast with Wake Up and Win that is a brand that I'm building on my own. And, you know, I had it while I was there when I was an intern for you and co-hosting the Justin and Devon show. And I'm still keeping it rocking to this day, man. So, yeah, standing on my beliefs, building my brand, and, you know, never giving up on myself and what it is that I want to do and accomplish in my own life and career.
You had me join you on your podcast. It was eye-opening for me. It was a different role for me to be asked questions. I thought you did a hell of a job. What is your aim with that podcast?
Well, I like to focus on, like, the intersection of sports and politics. And I think right now is an important time for us to be willing to do so. Obviously, I'm an analyst as well when it comes to sports. I'm the, you know, TV analyst for Portland State's men's basketball team. I do some play-by-play work at Pacific University as well. But I like this platform to be a bit different where we can have conversations that are a little bit more important, a little bit more nuanced, but still have fun with it. A lot of people tend to get stressed out when they have conversations about politics and social issues and things like that. And I don't think it always needs to be a stressful conversation, even though it's more than necessary to have. So I try to keep things light while touching on issues that, that plague our nation and plague this world in a lot of ways. Because I know most platforms that touch on some of the same issues that I do, they can be kind of depressing. And I'm not here to depress anybody, but I'm never scared to have the real conversations that are needed to be had.
We had a conversation earlier this week on this show about that. I've always tried to keep politics out of this show because I feel like people are coming here to get a break. But I also don't consider racism to be a political issue. That, to me, is a civil rights issue. It's a social issue. Am I being naive?
No, I mean, I agree with you that it is a civil rights issue and a social issue. But if we want to see public policy be changed and that, that actually has an effect on things like racism and sexism and things like that, then you kind of got to get political to be able to make that happen. So I think it's really something that you can't avoid as hard as you may try to, and whatever lens you try to look at it from. A lot of reasons that, you know, racism and sexism and other oppressive things happen in this nation and this world happens to do with the political system that's been set up for things to operate the way that they do. And so a lot of it is learned, and the system enhances a lot of that learning. So I just think you can't really avoid it, although, you know, some people try to in every way possible.
We're talking to Devon Pouncey, former college basketball player, host of the Wake Up and Win podcast. The NBA playoffs have been terrific. What do you make of the playoffs? Clippers looked really good last night. Who do you like in the East and who do you like in the West?
Well, in the West, I've been rocking with the Clippers the day that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George were announced that they would be going to play together with that team. I just think they're too good of a team over there. They're really deep. Doc Rivers has a lot of coaching experience. And in the East, you know, you got the Heat looking good right now, but I honestly see the Toronto and Boston series as kind of like the Eastern Conference Finals right now, because I think whoever takes that series will end up beating whoever takes the Heat and the Bucks series, and they'll come out of the Eastern Conference and play against the Clippers and take them to 6 or 7. Ultimately, I got the Clips winning it all, but I think you're watching the Eastern Conference Finals right now in the semifinal round between Toronto and Boston. That's just my take on it.
What is going on with Milwaukee? Why are they having the trouble they're having with Miami? What is Miami doing?
Well, one thing, I think Miami has a lot of good defenders. I think, you know, they've got a guy in Jimmy Butler who's been known as a defensive stud throughout his career. Miami also can shoot it really well, and I don't think the Bucks can shoot it so well. And I think, you know, teams that can shoot in this day and age, and, you know, when you look at where the game is going to, they tend to have more success. I don't think the Bucks can really shoot it much. Giannis playing from up top really isn't necessarily the best thing for him. They need to figure out a way to diversify how he can be a weapon in that offense and not just kind of have him playing from the top against a defense that's set up and can load up on him. And so it's no surprise to me that Miami is giving the Bucks the time that they're giving them right now, because, like I said, they can shoot it, they can defend, and until the Bucks figure out a way to get hot, I think they're going to struggle to actually become champions in this league.
Devon Pouncey is with us. Blazers get knocked out by the Lakers, just in over their heads ultimately in that series. But what does this roster need to compete in the West moving forward?
I mean, you know, it's always kind of been that two-way guy, whether it be a two-way guy on the wing, whether it be a two-way guy in the paint. But I just don't think there's enough two-way options. And I'm not talking about a 3-and-D guy. I'm talking about a guy that can be just as dominant on the offensive end as they can be on the defensive end, even if the three ball isn't falling for them, because maybe, you know, they can get to the line. They got a good mid-range game. They obviously can shoot the three as well. But I think they need a guy that can be just as dominant or just as much of a game changer on both sides of the ball, all wrapped into one human being. And I think, you know, it allows you to do more as far as being flexible with your lineups. And it allows them to have more of a presence on the defensive end, which is what they definitely need. So like I said, even if it's a dominant shot blocker who also can give you 30 a night, that's cool. Or if it's somebody like a Kawhi or a Paul George who plays well on the perimeter but can score 30 a night for you, that's cool too. But some kind of two-way guy that can be just as dominant on both sides of the ball is what I think is necessary for the Blazers.
You got to give up a player to get a player like that unless you draft them. Who on this roster
sure.
is do you give up C.J. McCollum? Are you ready to give up on that backcourt?
I think we've had enough of a sample size of Dame and C.J. together to know kind of what that ceiling is. So I don't think C.J.'s off the table necessarily, but if you can figure out a way to package some other guys and keep C.J., obviously you'd love to do that. But, you know, I think we've seen the ceiling of this team going to the Western Conference Finals last year. They ended up getting swept there. I know they played against a really good Warriors team, but still, I think that's their ceiling with what they have right now. So I don't think CJ's off the table to be traded, but if you can some way mastermind a way to be able to keep CJ and then get a guy like I just explained, that's what it's going to take for the Blazers to ultimately become a champion.
Devon Pouncey with us. The NBA has, if we get this Boston Clippers NBA Finals, you still riding with the Clippers?
I'm still riding with the Clippers, but I think Boston can take them to 6 or 7, which means they have a chance. So I don't think it's, oh, the Clippers sweep them or the Clippers get them in 5 in a gentleman's sweep. I think Boston has potential to be champions. I think they're well coached, and I think they have a few of those guys that I think the Blazers need. I mean, you look at somebody like a Jason Tatum or a Jaylen Brown. I think those are guys that I'm talking about that can be a difference maker on both sides of the ball, whether it be offensively scoring it or defensively, you know, guarding the best player on the opposing team. So I think they match up fairly decently, having those two against somebody like a Kawhi and Paul George. I think that, you know, is a really good matchup. I still think the older tandem of George and Kawhi Leonard will be able to get Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but I think that's a matchup that would be really fun to watch. And I think Boston has more experience than we give them credit for, because those young guys have been in the playoffs every year in their young 3 to 4 year careers.
Devon, the Blazers narrative every year, every summer is can't get a free agent. You have to rely on the draft or a trade. Why won't free agents come to Portland?
You know, I think for a lot of the time it's been the weather. You know, obviously we get cold out here. Things get rainy out here. But I do think that the profile of this city is elevating, and I do think people are a bit more interested in Portland now than they've been in the past. I mean, for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, Damian Lillard himself being one of them. And I just think that this city stands for something that a lot of people are starting to recognize is necessary for any city to stand for. So, you know, and often you hear a lot of good about this city when you actually talk to somebody that does live there. I just think it's more so about opening their minds to those kinds of things and kind of being willing to overcome some of the challenges that the weather brings. And, you know, I think we're getting to a point where free agents will at least put their eye on Portland and, you know, look at it as a city that they could potentially live in and play the remainder of their careers in. So I think it's an upward trend as far as the city is concerned, but still got a little ways to go.
All right, let's get back to Straight Roots before I cut you loose. And again, if you want to find Devon Pouncey, you can find him on Twitter. You also can find the Wake Up and Win podcast. Where do they find the podcast, Devon?
Oh, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud. And we had you as a guest on there this week, which is pretty rare. And I think it was cool because, you know, you don't really do much long-form content, being that you're a radio guy. And so usually even when you do get called for appearances, they're probably more so quick hits and quick segments. But I got to chat with you for nearly an hour about sports and politics and John Canzano and other things. So, yeah, check us out on any digital streaming platform that you listen to podcasts on.
For people who want to support Street Roots, how do they get involved?
Well, you can go to the website, streetroots.org. Obviously, you can donate. We have a volunteer program. We're definitely looking for volunteers right now because we are still open and operating. But, you know, some of the volunteers that we had in the past may have been older or retired and, you know, don't necessarily want to take the risk and come back and volunteering during the pandemic. I will say that, you know, we've been working with the county consistently to make sure that we've created health guidelines and safety measures for us to keep being open and operating. But streetroots.org can take you anywhere that you want to go to be able to, like I said, donate or, you know, volunteer or read our journalism. We've got great journalism, and a lot of people are looking to us for our journalism with everything that's going on in the city of Portland and really across the nation right now. But, you know, Portland is definitely being targeted as that protest city from people on all sides of America. So if you want to kind of stay informed on what's going on in this city as things continue to progress, we're a good way to go.
Devon Pouncey, find his podcast, Wake Up and Win. Devon, I appreciate you, man, and appreciate the time you spent on this radio show. And you and I coached a fourth grade boys CYO basketball team. Once
yes,
upon
did.
A time, you were the head coach. I was your trusted assistant, I believe. And
yeah,
what was that? We weren't very good, were we?
No, we definitely weren't a looker of a team. We were able to get good effort out of those kids, though. But, you know, the talent wasn't quite there. The coaching might not have been there enough either. But, you know, I think talking sports is our thing. But coaching sports, I think we got a little ways to go on that.
I just remember the opposing coaches looking at us because, you know, you're a college basketball player. You walk into the gym and everybody's going, this guy can dunk. I walk in and they're like, "Oh, they got the sports guy on the coaching staff as well." And then we went out and we stunk it up.
Yeah, we did. Like I said, I mean, we didn't get to pick our team, so you know, we had to. You know,
we can't blame the kids.
The cards that we were dealt, and we didn't get dealt a good hand. I'll just say that. But I don't want to, you know, talk about the kids too badly here.
But you know what? We were a little like the Blazers. We had two good guards that were undersized.
Yeah.
And we had a big man who was okay, it was decent. And then we just didn't have perimeter defense, and we didn't have depth.
No, we did not. We did not. Yeah. You know, our big man, he was decent, but, you know, when guys got a bit physical with him, you know, things got hard for him a little bit on the court.
Yeah.
So that certainly didn't help. But, I think that's a fair example of a team. But, you know, the Blazers are getting paid millions of dollars and still making it to the playoffs. I don't know if we made it to the playoffs in our league unless everybody
makes
it to the playoffs.
We did.
We did. Everybody makes it, right?
Yeah, we got in the playoffs. So, I don't know what you're talking about.
So we made it first round exit like the Blazers. So, yeah, maybe you're right, man.
Vaughn Pouncey, appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Pounce. I'm not blaming the talent. I'm going to take the high road. I'm going to say it took us about a game or two to figure out how to play and how to coach in that league. And I remember the very first game, coming back to that first practice after the first game, we scrapped the entire offense. We said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take advantage of these two guards, and we're going to stop trying to run a regular offense. It was fun, though. And I remember the joys, and for people out there who coach youth sports, you may relate to this. The victories in the season, for us, it was not about trying to win a championship. It wasn't. From the start, it wasn't. And if we had won our first game, it wouldn't have been that way. What it was about were small victories. We had a kid on the team who had never scored a basket in a game. I made it a mission. We're going to get that kid a basket. We got him a basket late in the season. So we ran plays for him. And it was about trying to get every growth out of everybody. We had one kid on the team who was anxious. He was anxious about being at practice. His parents would drop him off at practice, and he would immediately start to have kind of a mild panic attack with his parents leaving the gym. And I spent a lot of time reassuring him that everything is going to be okay. Look, nothing bad happened. Everything is going to be okay. And so it was those kinds of victories by the end of the year, and the kid wanting to come back and play another year, that kid in particular. We had a great time, and Pounce and I often sat on the bench, kind of looked at each other and said, we're just not very good in the end. Maybe Terry Stotts did that late in the Lakers-Blazers series. I don't know. Leave it here. You got the BFT statewide. Cam Newton says that the real work with the Patriots begins now. Said it was hard to find words. Named the team's starting quarterback, as well as a team captain on Thursday. By the way, the Patriots have eight team captains. Eight team captains. Quick rise to the top there. I kind of feel like you have to be the team captain if you're the quarterback. And I'm not saying, like, in no way, shape, or form could the quarterback ever not be a team captain, but I kind of feel like if you're going to make Cam Newton your starting quarterback, you have to appoint him the leadership position. And I have seen cases in college football where the quarterback's not the team captain, but I think most coaches would defer to that position and go, okay, that's one of our team captains, no matter who it is. Cam Newton says, from the moment that he spoke to any personnel with the Patriots, he wanted them to understand he was not taking this opportunity for granted. I don't know how he could. That strikes me as curious, given that essentially his time in Carolina ended with it looked like nobody wanted him. 31 years old, everybody wondering how much he's got left, his injuries. Is he ready for a 16-game season and a preseason and all of that? I mean, nobody knows. But I kind of feel like that surprised me a little bit that he said, I just want everyone to know I'm not taking this for granted. I was like, I didn't believe he was. Chuda, is that like, am I missing something there?
No, I mean, I feel like a lot of teams could have signed Cam outside of New England, Chicago in particular, but they ended up going with Foles for much more money. That didn't really make sense to me. And we have still yet to find out if it's going to be Foles or Trubisky in Matt Nagy's offense this year. I don't know. Honestly, Cam, when he loses a game, let's see where the attitude is. Because he's not been a quarterback that's done very well leading a team that struggles, you know, whether it's his own injuries or otherwise. Let's see when they encounter some adversity, because there will be adversity for the Patriots this year. You know, week one versus Miami, but week two at Seattle on Sunday Night Football. Obviously, you know, if they lose that game, you know, if they lose to the Chiefs week four and they're 2-2 or maybe 1-3 out of the gate, well, show me Cam Newton's countenance then, because I bet you it changes.
And the other thing, too, is it's not like any other position on this team, right? He's replacing Tom Brady, a first ballot, no-brainer, unanimous Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame candidate. We've seen the Patriots over the years play with receivers that were not first-tier receivers by league standards, or a tight end, or on defense, patchwork, or, you know, we've seen them kind of get by and MacGyver it. And while they had a week or two here or there where they've had to get by with a quarterback who's filling in, I don't foresee this being anybody else's. Sort of like they're going to point fingers at Cam Newton if this offense isn't right.
And they a lot of guys opted out on defense too. Pat Chung in particular, Dante Hightower as well. This is going to be an interesting. They just cut Mo Sanu, who was going to be a top two receiver for them. So I'm going to be fascinated how they orchestrate this offense, because it's going to look a lot different than what we've seen it before.
And Chung, by the way, was one of six players who opted out of the 2020 season. He had a choice between playing the season or not playing the season, and the difference in his salary was about $200,000.
Yeah.
And he just said, I'm 32 years old, I've got a 2-year guaranteed contract, I was expected to start, but you know what? There's a pandemic, I've considered retirement, why not get paid to sit back and just watch? Leave it here at the 2 o'clock hour.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.